From the Gospel of Matthew. And when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A gale across the lake so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love this image because it's all about being afraid. But I love it because the disciples are sitting in a boat, and you can imagine this boat going up and down and up and down, and Jesus asleep. I mean, that's just the best image of, you know, oh well. It's an interesting story because if you read it where it comes in the scriptures, it comes right after Jesus has healed Peter's mother. It comes after he has healed the centurion slave, just from distance, not even going to him. And yet they're still afraid because the one person who they think should be able to do something is sound asleep. In this version, in Matthew's version, Jesus rebukes the winds and the sea, and there is a calm, a dead calm. But I have to tell you, it reminds me of something years and years and years ago when I was at my former church. We did the Gospel of Mark. We've done it here as well. But there was a little boy who was in it who had one line. His name was Andrew, and he had a lisp. So when we got to his one line where Jesus rebukes the winds, Andrew stood up, put up his hand, and said, "Peace. Be still." And it brought such a moment to all of our hearts because he sat through the whole thing just to be able to stand and tell us that we should be quiet and that our hearts would be stilled. The story, of course, in all the Gospels is about not having faith in Jesus. He has done all these things in their sight, and they are still afraid. And they are afraid they're going to die. But this time when I was reading it, there was something else that struck me, and it wasn't the disciples. It was that the wind and the water obeyed him and became calm and peaceful. Which raised the question, who is this? Who is this man who can even... the winds and sea will obey. For the last few weeks, we have been discerning the ways that we can unlock our hearts to God. And I thought about the image of the winds and the sea obeying Jesus and how it could help us understand what's involved in unlocking our hearts to God. And I thought of two things: trusting God and obeying God. Trust is an elusive word, but I think that there is one thing that holds true about it all the time, is that you can't accomplish anything in this life without trust. If it is important to you, trust is a key element of being able to do it. Obey, on the other hand, is a more difficult word. It is for me. Growing up, it was a word I didn't like at all. You can ask my parents. And so I asked myself, what does it mean to obey God? I ask you. What does it mean in today's world and in this progressive theology we have of ours to obey God? Well, here's what I know that it's not. It's not this. It is not this. It is not you must. It is not shame. It is not God shaking the finger of heaven at us. It seems to me that trusting and obeying God is at the heart of another word we rarely use. Holiness. Holiness. Holiness is a traditional and honored word in the Christian faith, but it has this old-fashioned ring to it. Other words have actually replaced it. We talk about wholeness and integration. But a good question for our lives is, can we reconstruct holiness for today's times, for our life today? Does the word holiness have relevance for us today? How many of you know the hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy"? Well, these three, and you three don't even count. Every question I ask, you raise your hands. You're like the Bible school triplets that sit in the front. Oh, and you too, yes. Well, we used to sing it growing up all the time. It's a wonderful song. And it says that we're supposed to trust and obey God in all things. To trust and obey God is not this. It is about being in right relationship with God. It brings us to that which we seek so much, and that is wholeness. When we experience holiness, we strive for it, and it brings us right into the presence of God. I was thinking about what it means all week to be holy, and I actually couldn't relate it to something that was good or bad. It didn't seem like it was related to even to being a good person or a bad person. It was more about something we seek in good times and in bad times. We seek it in lots of ways. We look for it in other people. We have all kinds of people throughout history that we would consider holy. But it seems to me that for us, we have to use our imaginations and widen our vocabulary about what it means to be holy. It is time for us to dream dreams. It is time for us to shape history. To answer the call of God, we have to grapple with what our life looks like when we take time to be holy. I just want to tell Dixie, as usual, I don't have an answer for you. It's different for every single person, but I can suggest that to trust God and to obey God is a place to start. We are looking for what we used to say was a sanctified life. Sanctified means making holy. And I like that actually better because it gives me a sense that it's a process, that I could fail at it today and maybe go on and do it better tomorrow, that each and every day I'm in the process of becoming holy. I'm in the process of trusting and obeying God, that I will remain open to God and available to God. It means, brothers and sisters, to be holy is to enter into a conversation with God and then to be willing to be set apart for God's purposes. I want to read a quote from Donald Hotstetter. He said, "Holiness comes at the very time you are uncomfortable with things the way they are. When you are thinking of new ways to approach old issues, or when you are functioning outside your normal range of activity, the presence of God is discovered on the roadway of life, in the interplay of human emotions and the lifting of each other's burdens." Reflection from our safe and private balconies and porches may help us develop inner calm, but it is hardly ever the setting for an encounter with God. Openness to new ideas, interaction with different persons, willingness to grapple with issues, expecting the unexpected, and optimistically peering into the unknown are the hallmarks of the seeker of holiness. I think what he's saying is holiness requires risk. John Wesley, our founder, said a lot about holiness, a lot about sanctification. He thought that it was by holiness that we are restored to the image of God. Is that not lovely? To be restored to the image of God, to love as God loves, to do extraordinary things, living out the emptying incarnational way of the cross. And Jesus trusted God with his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He obeyed God in that he did not back down from what God had revealed to him, what he was to impart to others, to show them what a holy and sanctified life looked like. What do I say in my benediction? And Jesus Christ, who redeemed us when he showed us how to live, even if it would lead him to a cross. One of my most holy moments in my whole life was when I went to Italy and I walked into the Vatican with 20,000 of my closest friends, trying to not get lost. And I looked to my right as we were going to the left, and there was Michelangelo's Pietà. And I stopped, because there was Mary holding Jesus after his death. And I had forgotten I was going to see it. But what I saw was the sacrifice of a mother. But I saw the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. I was standing facing the trust of Jesus. I was standing and gazing at the obedience of Jesus. And I was seeing in this carved stone the most holiness of Jesus, making me realize that all holiness is grounded in sacrifice, and that all sacrifice is grounded in trust and obedience. The question for your life, brothers and sisters, and for mine today and every day is, who is he? Who is he that he can calm the winds and the sea, and they will obey him? We were created for reverence. We were created for reverence. And when we trust and obey the God that Jesus trusted and obeyed, we will live out God's purpose and God's will. And I don't know how to end this sermon, so I'm going to make you sing again. Turn in your hymnals to 395, the red hymnal. Let's remain seated and let's sing Trust and Obey.